Good day, friends. I have my Bible open to 1 John, the third chapter, and I want to read the last verse in that third chapter of 1 John. It's verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I'm sure this was true of the apostles, and we're aware of the fact that we're told in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. I want to notice this sentence in the first part of the 24th verse. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. You see, this puts a great basis, we might say, for our Christian life upon obedience. And sometimes this becomes a little precarious in the thinking of people. You know, I had a man say to me some time ago, he said, "Well, now when you talk about love and when you talk about obedience, just keep in mind that you can't legislate love." Well, I don't believe we have to legislate love, but it's an evident fact that you'll never find an individual who really shows forth his love for God or Christ by disobeying him. This principle that's found in 1 John 3:24 is found throughout the entire Bible. For instance, back in the Old Testament in the days of Solomon, remember that wonderful teaching in Ecclesiastes 12:13, where Solomon simply said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Well, someone says, of course, that was back under the law of Moses, and it was a law of works. But what would we think of the final chapter in the Bible? Revelation 22:14, that says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." You see, it has always been a plus in the sight of God for us to obey him. Again, I say we find no character in the Bible that ever pleased God by his disobedience. So I'm wondering if it is a legislation of love, we might say, or of obedience. It simply is the will of God, and it tells us something about the character of God here, that we truly become a part of Jesus Christ and find our way to God when we keep his commandments. After all, these commandments are outstanding, and Jesus placed an emphasis upon them. He pointed out how important it was for people to keep the law of Moses. And there were commandments, in fact, there were 10 of them mentioned back there in Exodus 20, that certainly were binding upon the people of the Old Testament. The only one of those 10 that we certainly do not find as a principle in the law of faith, Romans 3:27, under which we live today, is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord, in his wonderful plan, actually changed the situation. The law of Moses, of course, was fulfilled. It was not destroyed. It had served its purpose. And Jesus saw fit, through the Holy Spirit and in complete harmony with God, to tell Christians that they should come together upon the first day of the week to break bread. So there's where the transition took place. You see, there never was an apostle of Jesus Christ that you read about in the proclamation of preaching the gospel on this side of the cross or in the teaching that's found in the epistles where anyone was ever told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. See, if you're going to actually find something that relates that to you, you're going to have to go back to the Old Testament. Or at least you're going to have to go back to the days when Jesus lived under the law of Moses. But he fulfilled that law. So what are we saying? We're simply saying that there were commandments on the Old Testament. But then we make as great a mistake as some person who tries to bind the Sabbath day, whether honestly or not honestly, upon people today on this side of the cross. We make the same mistake when we think that all the commandments and all the true obedience ended with the death of Jesus upon the cross. You know, Hebrews 5:8-9, I think, sheds a little light on this side of the cross. He's going back to what Jesus did, but then he's showing us something that's in our life here. He said, "Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now, just as Revelation 22:14 simply tells us that we won't have a right to the tree of life, we won't have a right to enter through the gates into the city without keeping his commandments, so Paul in Hebrews 5:8-9 is telling us that we must obey him. You know, Christ let us in on something very interesting as he left this word with his apostles before he went to heaven. Listen to Jesus now from the 28th chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 18, the last three verses of Matthew's record in his biography of the life of Christ. He simply says in verse 18 that full power or complete authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then he offered what is equivalent to a great commission when he said, go and teach all nations. In other words, they were to teach all nations. They were to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The point that I think is quite clear here is he told them to teach all nations. What are they going to teach all nations? Well, they're going to teach them that they ought to be baptized, because he said baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he offered another aspect of teaching. And this is, of course, on this side of the cross, because they didn't go out to preach the gospel to the entire world until after Jesus had died, was buried, rose again, and went back to heaven. In fact, they waited 10 days after Christ went to heaven until the Holy Spirit came upon them. So this is referring to something on this side of the cross, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, if I read that correctly, he isn't promising to be with them. He isn't promising to, assist them, unless they're going to do this. And they did. They went forth and preached the gospel throughout the world. Paul in Colossians 1:23 said the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. In the third chapter of Romans that we mentioned earlier on the broadcast today, in verse 27, it makes a contrast between that law of Moses that was in force until Jesus died, and then it talks about the law of faith. Sometimes we have the wording principle of faith. Now, what does this imply? Well, it implies that law is a principle. Men have always had a teaching that was associated with law, and I know people who are very honest, and certainly we're not in any way casting a reflection upon their honesty, who think that we absolutely are not living under any law today. They say, well, we're under grace. And yet, isn't it interesting that one of the great products of God's grace is this gospel that gives us these commandments? Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation that appeared unto all men. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel, because the 12th verse says, teaching us, there's that teaching again, to deny ourselves of ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I believe that soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world are definite commandments of the Lord. We are to use our thinking proper, have full control of our faculties so we can think things through. We are to do the right thing, which is righteousness. That's what righteousness is, to do the right thing. It isn't just talking the right thing, but it's doing the right thing. And the ultimate, of course, is reaching forth to be more like God every day in our life. Peter put it this way, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they'll make it that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be in the know. And what happens when you're in the know? Then you know what Jesus wants you to do. If you're an alien sinner and you're listening to this broadcast today, we can show the importance of these commandments, actually, that makes it possible for you to be a part of him. Notice our verse says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. To get into him, we must hear the word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and we are baptized into Christ, according to Galatians 3:27, with all our sins forgiven. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, isn't it interesting that we must please God, and we can only please him by truly having faith? We can't please him without faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repentance is a commandment. Not alone did Jesus say, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," in Luke 13:3, as well as the fifth verse of that chapter. But Paul at Mars Hill in the city of Athens, he was there in the Areopagus delivering a wonderful defense in that 17th chapter of Acts. He said in verse 30, "At the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." It's a commandment to repent. And we can't be baptized without confessing our faith in Christ according to the 8th chapter of Romans or the 8th chapter of Acts. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And baptism is a commandment. Acts 10:48 simply says that Peter commanded them at the household of Cornelius to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So when we do obey this gospel, we actually begin to dwell in him. We become a part of him. Now, what's before us? He that keepeth his commandments. What are other commandments? Well, the Lord doesn't always have to say, "I command you." But when we have the wonderful teaching of the Bible that tells us disciples did this and they did that, then we can understand it was the will of God, equivalent to a commandment. Acts 20:7 tells us the disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. Also upon the first day of the week, according to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they gave of their means as they were prospered. So all of this adds up in a very definite fashion to living the Christian life, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, that we may be accepted in his sight. Our time is up. We're going to have to close. It's been good to be with you, friends. And truly, look at 1 John 3:24. Be in the house of the Lord. Your friendly neighbors, the Church of Christ that brought you this broadcast, stand ready to help you. Listen for time of services. Tell a friend about the broadcast. And be with us next time as we continue to spend a few minutes with the Bible.